Yarry Film Group and B-Sky-B present The Accidental Husband, audio described by John Morgan.
Risa from Manhattan, you're on the air.
I date a lot of guys.
Uh-huh.
I mean a lot. I've had more blind dates than a seeing eye dog, and you know why?
I'm on tenderhooks, Risa. Shoot.
I'm looking for the real thing you're talking about, too, but I want to feel love. The kind where you're so delirious you can barely breathe or eat.
I'm waiting for a Prince Charming who will pick me up, sweep me off my feet, slam me into a wall, and bang my...
Let me stop you right there, Risa. First of all, I don't think love is supposed to deny you of your food or oxygen supply. Love is supposed to nourish you.
No, I'm just saying, I want the fairy tale. I want the excitement, the romance, you know?
Yeah, I do. This Prince Charming of yours doesn't exist. I mean, he's probably good for a few nights in this act, but then his charm will run pretty thin, which is what charm does.
Well, I hear you, Dr. Lloyd, but what I'm saying is that I want to be deeply and passionately in love.
Oh, you want to be passionately in love. I see, yeah. Well, you know who's a bigger flake than your buddy Prince Charming? His brother, Prince Passion. Risa, if you are truly serious about wanting to find real and lasting love in this town, I'm going to have to dish out a little tough love to you right now.
Uh-oh.
This serial dating of yours is a waste of time. I mean, you can't find something when you don't know what you're looking for. You're playing the field, right? Hoping that somebody will want you. When it's you who needs to figure out what it is you want. Anybody can fall in love, but what you deserve is a man with the emotional maturity to stay in love. Don't settle for a boyfriend when you can demand a man friend.
Well, I'm not really the demanding type.
Don't go there, Risa. Do you hear what she's doing, listeners? That is the sound of a woman who settles for second best. Why do we do that? I mean, deep down, we know we deserve better. So why do we keep lowering our standards? I devote an entire chapter to this in my new book, Real Love, which comes to stores on Wednesday. I finally learned that unless you demand real love for yourself, you're going to get seriously hurt out there.
But how am I supposed to know if love is real or not?
Spell it out for yourselves. R, is he responsible? E, is he your equal? A, is he an adult? And most of all, L, is he loving? Know anybody like that?
Not really.
Hold out for it, Risa. You'll be so glad you did.
Oh, Dr. Lloyd, you are such a lifesaver. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right, next caller.
Patrick, come on.
Where'd she go?
Hopefully she went to go buy you a muzzle. Keep your mouth quiet.
All right.
Next time. There is a next time.
Patrick and some of his teammates get into a people carrier.
Show tunes. Show tunes. More show tunes. More show tunes.
Obviously. It's sad.
Oh, here's the love doctor.
I hate that lady.
My lady loves this chick.
Mine too.
You're
who? I mean my mother.
What is that?
You're a beast.
Next caller, Sophia of Astoria. You're on the air.
Hi. Am I on?
Yeah. Here we are. Let's go.
What? I'm supposed to be getting married this weekend, and I'm having second thoughts.
Second, third, fourth.
What do you mean?
Well, have you been thinking about calling this off for a while?
Well, I took your online compatibility test, and you scored a 12.
Okay, that test helps predict long-term compatibility, caller.
You're right to consider this very, very carefully.
43% of marriages end in divorce. All right, you don't want that. How long have you known this guy?
About 5 months, but he's a really good guy and all, and...
But 5 months?
Sophia, are you scared of being alone? I guess so, maybe, yeah. Because you know what's scarier than being alone? You know what's worse? Being alone with the wrong guy for the rest of your life. You got it?
Doesn't sound like your average case of pre-wedding jitters.
Wait, are you saying I should call off the wedding?
I'm running out of time, caller. But you know, deep inside, what you need to do. Thank you for calling. Good luck.
Patrick is unhappy with what he's just heard. New York magazine lies next to a breakfast tray. The smartly dressed man pours coffee from paper cups into beakers, then lies next to the woman in bed.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
This is your publisher speaking.
We don't want any.
Read 'em and weep.
Oh, really?
Is there any one way to find out?
No. I'm too nervous. You read it.
The doctor is in.
The first book from local talk radio sensation Dr. Emma Lloyd, Real Love, establishes Lloyd as the latest Koja of modern romance.
The latest what? What do they call me?
Koja, apparently.
I don't know what that means. Do you know what that means? I don't even know how to spell it.
K-H?
What kind of word is Koja?
Oh?
I mean, they just show I love, really.
Okay.
For a popular magazine to review a self-help book and pull out a word like Koja from the Turkish Hoka. A title of respect for a teacher. B, a wise man.
Or woman.
Oh, or C, a subsect of ancient Ismaili assassins. Let's go with A for teacher, shall we?
I don't know. No, the assassin thing, I wouldn't throw that out.
I just love those people from New York Magazine.
They're bona fide geniuses.
Do you think I should write them a thank you note?
Or some of those fruit baskets. People seem to love fruit.
I love fruit.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm marrying you. My culture.
They roll on the bed, kissing.
We're not done. We're not done. Calm it, quoi.
I got it.
Okay. No. Let's
see. Dr. Lloyd's analysis of love's do's and don'ts is both insightful and trenchant.
Trenchant? What the hell does that mean? Is that some kind of fancy word for full of shit?
Trenchant? Direct and incisive
give
action.
Give me a break. Smart ass.
What?
Stuck up silly
I saw it on Jeopardy.
I mean, why don't they just say, read the book, ruin your life? Why don't they just say that?
Daddy, why don't you read the sports page to us, huh?
Physical gifts can offer such insightful observations into the human heart is a thing of wonder.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Trouble. 1 o'clock.
She is chicken soup for the heart. Oh, my ass. Hey, Sophia. So,
here we go.
Hey, I'm reading about that very nice lady that helped me plunge a knife through my heart. Very trenchant stuff.
I can't talk right now because I gotta be someplace.
Oh, come on, we'll give you a ride. Hey, fellas, stop the truck.
Patrick yells from the truck.
Oh, come on, you haven't returned any of my calls.
Well, I've been busy.
Sophia, give the guy a break.
Talk to him. So,
I can't.
Oh, don't do that, so come out here. Sophia.
Patrick grabs a microphone.
Please come out here so we can talk. No, not you, sir. You can put your hands down. Fireman. We don't arrest people.
No, we'll hose you down, though.
Soph, I'm not going to go anywhere until you come out here.
Patrick jumps off the fire engine. Reluctantly, Sophia comes out of the shop.
I don't understand. You know, 1 minute we're getting married and we're talking about names for our kids. And the next, because of some fruitcake.
She's a doctor.
Of what, Soph? Of what?
Talk to me.
Patrick. It's over. I'm sorry. Okay? It's over. I gotta go.
Sophia walks away, leaving Patrick stunned.
All right, show's over, folks. Let's keep it moving, huh? What are you looking at?
I met someone I really like. But all my friends tell me he's wrong for me. What do your friends say?
That we have nothing in common. It's just the sex. I'm just running away from many more appropriate men who pursue me because I'm afraid of the real thing. So they say.
Patrick walks deep in thought with his hands in his pockets. He turns the corner and approaches the Somoza Palace, the Indian restaurant which he lives above. He opens the door and goes in.
Quiet! Leave the man alone. Can you not see that his heart is broken? How can he eat when the woman that he loved abandoned him forever, virtually without explanation, and maybe at this very moment cuckolding him with some other man?
Deep, a small bald Indian man puts his hand on Patrick's shoulder. Patrick kisses his head.
Good night, everybody.
Stuck to Patrick's door is a newspaper cutting with a defaced picture of Dr. Lloyd depicting her as the devil, and in red letters the words, "See me." Patrick removes it and enters his flat, looking at the cutting. He attaches it to his fridge door. He then leaves his flat through a window and descends the fire escape to the flat below, entering through an open window.
I'll be right with you. I'm just giving Ann Coulter's frequent flyer miles to Michael Moore.
AJ, come on, man. This hacking's getting out of hand. You know, you get some serious trouble here.
Too late. Bon voyage, Mr. Moore. You see that clipping on the Love Doctor's wedding plans?
Yeah, who in the right mind is going to marry a woman like that?
Whoever we want.
What do you mean?
Check this out.
AJ has Dr. Lloyd's marriage details displayed on his screen.
Who's that?
It's her.
The Love Doctor?
I got off her birth certificate.
Oh, I don't know about this, AJ.
What are you talking about? All you ever do is walk around muttering about, like, giving her a piece of your mind or letting her have it or fixing your wagon.
Okay, for one, I've never said fix a wagon.
Well, if you've moved on, that's different. And I'm happy you finally put this behind you.
All right, wait, whoa. Maybe me telling her how I feel and holding her accountable would be, you know, important for my growth or whatever. What do you think?
What am I, your yogi? I thought you just wanted a little payback.
Patrick grins mischievously.
Let's do it. Oh, no.
You're married.
I'm married.
I'm what?
Already married.
According to who?
According to whom? The state of New York.
That's impossible.
Yes, there must be some mistake. I have never been married.
No, you must have the wrong Emma Lloyd.
Emmeline Willing Lloyd?
Your real name is Emily.
Apparently, there are a lot of things you don't know about her.
How do we fix this?
Annulment forms. Fill them out, have them notarized, bring them back.
I can't believe I didn't know that.
And your husband needs to sign them, too.
Fiancé.
Husband.
I don't have a husband.
Then who is Patrick Thomas Sullivan of Astoria, New York?
Yes, who is he?
I don't know.
He's your husband. Address is right there.
Astoria.
Queens.
Don't worry, I know a lawyer who can sort this out quietly.
I'm sure that won't be necessary.
Well, I'm afraid it will, darling. I've got a book to launch. Yours, I might add.
Richard, you don't really think I'm
married. No, it's not that. It's just the timing of this could not be worse.
I know.
You know, I'm in the middle of recalling 70,000 copies of a very moving memoir by a new author that we've trumpeted as the next Maya Angelou, who turns out to have plagiarized, guess who? Maya Angelou.
I forgot about that one.
Well, I didn't. And now the headline, Love Doctor, a Polygamist, just flashed before my eyes.
Hold these.
And on top of everything else, there's the Bollenbecker takeover. And, you know, they haven't announced which publishers they'll be keeping and which publishers they'll be dumping. So one self-help author who can't seem to help herself from being already married and having the books could be history.
Darling, I understand completely. Trust me. I'll take care of it. Everything will be fine. Oh, no, darling. Naughty chalky.
She pulls a chocolate bar from his pocket.
You don't need this.
No, you're absolutely right. It's his moment of weakness. Go get him.
Bye, sweetie.
He waves her off and pulls another chocolate bar from inside his jacket and takes a bite. The yellow taxi is crossing an iron bridge as Dr. Lloyd heads to Astoria. The taxi then drops her off outside the Somoza Palace restaurant. She has a carrier bag with the reams of paperwork given to her by the man in the city hall. She checks the address she was given for Patrick and goes in. An old grey-haired Indian man sweeps the floor.
Hello. Excuse me. You're not Patrick Sullivan, are you? You are? No.
May I help you?
I hope so. Is this 2301 33rd Street?
Yes, it is.
I'm looking for someone who's supposed to live here by the unlikely name of Patrick Sullivan.
Patrick.
Arre, kaha hai?
Bahar.
Keep going, tall lady. Keep going.
They direct Dr. Lloyd to the fire station, where a man listening to music on small earphones is hosing down the fire engine.
Excuse me. Excuse me, sir. Officer? Hello?
Hey, I'm sorry.
Okay, no, it's fine. Can you tell me where I can find Patrick Sullivan?
She now enters a dingy-looking bar. Patrick ducks behind the pool table when he sees her.
Yeah.
You're not gonna believe this, but that home wrecking lady from the radio just walked in here.
Oh, I believe you.
Can I help you?
So screwed.
What's she doing here?
I'm looking for Patrick Sullivan. I was told at the fire station he might be here.
Right over there.
Just looked over here.
What are you having?
Whatever he's having.
Yeah, bring him right over.
It's walking right this way. He's taking his coat off.
How do you do?
It just looked at me again. It's coming over here. It's coming right for me. What does it want?
Patrick Sullivan? You're not an easy man to find. I'm Emma Lloyd.
It thinks I'm you. Help me out here, huh?
Hey, I dropped my chalk. I'm Patrick Sullivan. This is my opponent, Larry Burleson.
Oh, Mr. Sullivan?
Hey.
Mr. Burleson, how do you do? I'm here for the oddest of reasons.
Oh, we all are, sweetheart.
You are.
This mine?
Sure. Do you mind if I interrupt your game for just a moment?
Yeah, knock yourself out.
No, 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 I didn't mean...
Well, you don't play?
Well, yes, I can, actually.
Then your stripes. Down the hatch.
No, no, Mr. Sullivan, I'm here
to... You don't drink? You don't play pool? Perhaps I can get you an herbal tea.
She knocks back the drink in the shot glass. Then accurately pots the nine ball.
Tony, we're going to need a round over here.
Mr. Sullivan,
yeah.
Something very unfortunate has happened, and it could really make a mess of my life.
I'm sorry to hear that.
No. It's certainly not your fault.
It's still your shot.
All right. Well, how can I explain? You see, I'm about to be married.
Oh, that was too bad. Congratulations on the whole other thing. Hey, everybody, we got a bride in our midst. Hey! We're going to need another round over here.
Thank you. No, that won't be necessary.
Oh, no, it's necessary. I feel a toast coming on. Wait a second. I know you.
Excuse me?
Yeah, yeah. Real love with Dr. Emma Lloyd. You're that lady I hear on the radio.
Yes, of course. Yeah, you found me out.
Have you ever been on television?
No, but I have a book coming out.
I love television.
You know, my girlfriend, she never misses your show.
Oh, well, has it been helpful in your relationship?
Oh, you have no idea. It's completely changed our lives.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That is so nice to
hear.
Here
you go. To the bride, an ever-changing life.
To the bride.
Mr. Sullivan, as I was saying, you see, I'm about
Thanks,
to be
Tony.
Married.
Hey, you should be careful about that. You know, 43% of marriages end in divorce.
That's right. That's right. It's all about picking the right partner.
It's so true. It's so true.
In order to do that, my fiancé Richard and I, we need a license from the state
you
of New York.
Richie from
and you
Dispatch?
Nice guy.
Asshole, come on.
Right, so on an otherwise perfectly lovely morning, we go down to City Hall.
Tanner and Richie!
Emma and Richie!
Richard! And I don't want any more. What I'm
hey,
trying
you're right.
To
you know,
tell
you. You probably don't want Richie to see y'all hammered before your wedding night. Hey, Tony! Why don't you give me that herbal tea over here?
Herbal tea coming up.
One for me, too.
All the men at the bar also order herbal tea.
Very funny, Mr. Sullivan. Very funny. I'll have you know I don't get drunk.
Oh, you don't?
No, my father taught me a very good trick in regard to holding one's liquor. You simply recite the president's names in order.
Hello?
Forwards or backwards?
Watch and learn, gentlemen. To Washington, Adams, Jefferson, Madison, and Monroe.
She knocks back another shot.
Carter!
Carter!
Reagan!
Reagan!
Bush!
Bush! Hey, do you think maybe we should pour you into a cab at this point? Maybe your fiancé is getting a little worried.
Oh, yes, that's right. That is exactly what I came to talk to you about.
Okay.
Yes, Mr. Sullivan, it seems we're married.
Come again.
We are married.
Don't you marry Rich?
Exactly.
I'm over here.
Right. Yes, it seems that we are the innocent victims of a glitch. Some computer somewhere, somehow, some family has married us.
A glitch?
Mm-hmm. I'll say a big one.
Oh, boy.
So, if you would just be so kind as to sign these papers.
Now drunk, she hits her head on the bar, and again as she gets up.
Washington, Madison. Adamson, oh, you're a fireman.
Indeed I am.
I always liked you guys.
Lights are out now.
She finally passes out and Patrick puts her over his shoulder and carries her back to his flat. He struggles to open the door to the restaurant but eventually makes it in. Then he negotiates the narrow staircase up to the door to his flat. Emma's head hits Deep's door. He looks out briefly, saying nothing.
Sorry there.
Patrick drops Emma's unconscious body onto his bed. Then he goes to his fridge and gets a bag of frozen peas from the freezer compartment, which he places on the lump on Emma's forehead. Emma's mobile rings. Patrick finds the phone in her bag. The caller display shows it to be Richard calling. Patrick smiles and rejects the call. He pats the bag of peas on her head and leaves, switching off the light as he goes. Morning arrives, the metro trains are full of commuters, the streets busy with people getting to work. Emma lies on the bed in the same position, the bag of peas still on her head. Her eyes open, one eye obscured by the bag of peas. With a start, she sits bolt upright, sending the bag on her head flying. She grasps her partially unbuttoned blouse, looks at her watch, smooths her crumpled skirt. Racing through the flat, she reads a note left on the front door by Patrick, which simply says, "Thanks for last night." She runs from the flat down the narrow stairs. The two Indian ladies watch her go. Hurrying through the street, she climbs the stairs to the metro, stumbling in her high heels. Reappearing from the subway in the city, she rushes across the busy street to get to her office, crashing into the revolving door as she arrives, looking very dishevelled. The lift doors opened. Emma is trying to fix her messy hair, smoothing it down with her hands.
Oh my.
I need the emergency outfit.
What?
The emergency outfit. The outfit I keep for emergencies. I need it.
Richard called 6.5 times. The last time he hung up, I think he knew he was looking a little desperate. Is he worried about the Ballenbecker takeover?
Can you get it for me, please?
On the phone?
Why'd you do that?
Because it's fun.
The outfit?
Not here. I had a date. Oh. Did you know that we're not even remotely the same size?
Richard, aspirin, coffee.
Oh, and your father?
Now.
Please hold.
Richard, line one.
She does not notice her father sitting in the office.
Richard, sweetheart, I am so sorry I didn't call. I was already in Queens, and so I thought I'd stay at my father's and go over wedding stuff.
And he brought you in this morning with your mom's wedding dress.
And he brought me back in this morning with my mom's wedding dress.
And your father's here.
She knows it.
It's beautiful.
Yes, I found Sullivan. Coffee while there?
Of course.
I'd love some.
Aspirin? I've got the papers.
You're welcome.
No, not on me.
Do you know where the coffee filter thing is?
I don't work here.
I know they have to be notarized.
Oh, sure.
Don't worry about anything. I have everything under control. You have enough on your plate without having to worry about this. No, don't.
Emma, your husband would like a few words with you?
Who?
Patrick Sullivan.
Sweetheart, can you hold, please? Not a word.
Hello? Hey, you there?
Mr. Sullivan?
Yes, hey.
Let me get to the point. I believe I left some very important documents in your...
Richard, phone.
Can you just hold on one teeny tiny little second? Yeah, don't go away. Richard, sweetheart, I am so sorry to keep you holding. Yes, I'll explain everything at the cake tasting. But you promised...
Phones continue to ring in the chaos.
Husband, Sal.
Oh, Mr. Sullivan? Mr.
Back
Sullivan.
In Lloyd's office.
No.
Wilder here.
Mr. Sullivan, hello.
Oh.
Is your father on too?
Gotta run, darling. See you later.
Aren't you gonna wait for your coffee, Wilder?
Nobody's got that kind of
time. I don't know what you think you're smirking about, Wilder.
No, honey, I'm just glad to see you're having some fun.
Does it look like I'm having fun? Wait. You drove all the way in just to bring Mom's dress?
Well, actually, I was hoping to lure you over to Bimmelman's for a banana split like the old days.
Bemelman's has been closed for 10 years.
Ah, well, my timing's always been a little off. Don't keep your husband's waiting.
It's not what you think.
Yeah, I know.
Mr. Sullivan?
Hey.
Thank you so much for calling back.
No,
yes,
Newfoot, excuse me.
What do you want?
Hello? Car's downstairs. You're late.
Mr. Sullivan?
Yeah.
Yes. About last night.
Yeah.
What exactly happened?
Well, I'll tell you this. You do one hell of a river dance.
Uh-huh.
It was quite a night.
Well, that doesn't sound like me at all.
And that wasn't even the good part.
What do you mean that wasn't the good part?
I'm here.
You where? Hey, I'm losing you. Hello? Can you hear me now? Look, forget last night. What I want is a rather large stack of papers that I need you to sign.
I got them right here.
You do? You made my day.
Coffee?
Thank you.
You know, I know a notary not far from here.
Right now? No, I just had this appointment. It took me 3 months to get.
Yeah, that sounds important.
It is. It's a cake tasting.
Like I said, important stuff.
It's the wedding cake, and she's Marilyn Hirschfield. She's a very respected cake maker. These appointments are very hard.
I love cake.
What are you doing?
Well, scoot over.
No, hey!
This cake is fantastic.
Shh, please.
Quiet. Hey, can I get another slice of this one, please?
I believe you've already tried the buttercream, sir.
It's not me. It's my fiancée. She's on the fence about the buttercream.
I am not.
Hey, excuse me. You don't have any milk back there, do you?
Sure.
So after this, we go to the notary, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, how much is this?
It's free, sir.
Bullshit! It's free.
Here you are, sir.
There's my milk. Would you like a sip?
No, thank you. I'm not six.
Holy crap. Cake down. I need a spoon. Oh, don't worry about it. I got this.
And here we have our dark Belgian chocolate with vanilla mousse torte. Thank you.
That's awesome. Oh, my God. You know, if you mix these two together, it tastes just like a ring ding. Maybe you gotta try this.
No.
Yeah,
not baby. And no.
Ah.
No.
Ah.
Huh?
Huh?
Mmm, it's yummy.
It's super duper.
Mm-hmm. May I have just one more glass of milk, please?
Atta girl, milk for my bride. In fact, milk's all around.
Milk's all around.
Hey, where are you ladies from?
Germany.
Wow, you must really like cake. Yeah, you gotta try this. And mix these two together. Okay. Hey, can we get some ring ding things for the gals over here, please?
Darling, I am certain that everyone is being attended to.
Baby, I got this covered. Don't you worry about it.
All right.
Quite a handful you got there.
That is
impulsive, unpredictable. You never know what he's going to do next.
Full of surprises.
But that's the fun of it, though, isn't it?
Of course it is.
It is. Trust me.
Here you go, ladies.
It reminds me of my husband when we first met. Everybody thought we were a total mismatch, but we had so much fun, and we still do 25 years later.
Hey, what are you ladies talking about over here?
I know, we're talking about the men in our lives.
Ah, boys.
Girl, stop. Never mind.
How did you two meet?
Oh, honey, you tell the story. You tell it a lot better than I do.
No. You tell it. You're the good teller of it.
All right, sure. You ladies ever heard of pro wrestling?
Stop! Kidder. Oh, he's such a kidder. It was a blind date.
Oh.
Yeah. We were fixed up.
Yes, that's right. Fixed up, but not with each other. It was two separate blind dates in the same bar.
Both going terribly.
Horribly. Oh, it makes you think about those people who set us up.
Susie and Alan. What the hell did they know?
I don't know. Anyway, I guess he noticed me.
Well, I mean, come on. Look at her. A guy would have to be blind.
Noticed me suffering on my bad date. And then the band started playing this song, and it was my favorite song. And suddenly he was next to me, and he asked me to dance, and I said yes.
What was the song?
Song?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, this song. Yes. Oh.
Overnight scenes, dinner and wine, Saturday girls. I was never in love, never had the time. Honey, every woman in the world.
Every woman in the world.
Laughing myself to sleep, waking up lonely. I needed someone to hold me. Oh,
girl, you're every woman in the world to me. You're my fantasy, you're my reality.
That's it. That's the song.
Man, that was totally off the top of my head, huh? Known each other for 2 hours, and we already got a song.
We don't have a song.
How long is this going to take?
Deep sits behind a glass screen and gestures them to a side door while putting a close sign in his window.
Amyloid?
Deepak Manam Chaturvedi.
Mr. Manam Chaturvedi.
Deep.
Mr. Deep.
I recognize you. You're the passed out lady that Patrick carries around sometimes.
Yes, that would be me.
Patrick gives Deep some cake.
Very well, son.
Oh, how very thoughtful.
Do we have to do this right now?
Delicious. It's not unlike a ringding.
Well, what did I tell you about the ringding?
Yes, and I'm sure you'd really love a glass of milk with that, but I have to get home and change for my book party, so if you don't mind,
don't rush me, young lady. I'm a notary public. I took a test.
Okay, I'm sorry. How long do you think this will take?
Well, let's just review. Signatures. Check. Dates. Check. Well, now all you need is my seal and you'll be on your way in 10 minutes.
Oh.
An hour. A year. It'll take as long as it takes. Who can say?
Well, is there anything you can do to hurry this up? I mean, I don't mind paying extra.
Trying to bribe a public official?
Oh, this is ridiculous. I'm late and I'll send a messenger in the morning. I'm sure that will be more than enough time.
Oh, Emma, I could just bring by the office.
Oh, no. I will send a messenger. Thank you, Mr. Sullivan, for your cooperation.
Well, thank you for thanking me, Mrs. Sullivan. A year?
Patrick, I'm out. Look, you had your fun, but this is too far. You should be ashamed. Nice lady like that.
Look, I wanted to give her a taste of her own medicine, period. And then I don't know. She's starting to grow on me.
No. Look, no growing, okay? No growing on anyone by anyone. No knees weakened, no shines taken to, none of it. Not on my watch. Now go. You and Ajay have caused enough trouble. Out.
Camera flashes go off as Emma arrives at the book signing.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you very much.
I'm relieved to say.
This camera. Thank you. Over here, eye contact, please. Oh,
very nice.
Thank you very much.
Just wait, please.
And where's Richard?
Right over there. Thanks.
Not too shabby, eh?
No, it's wonderful. I can't
Signed, please.
Mr. Braxton, Dr. Lloyd.
I have so much to tell you.
You got the papers?
They're at the notary.
Excellent. Oh, thank you. Carl Bollenbeck is here. Make that up to him.
Oh?
No, he wasn't coming. And then his office called to say he was coming. Is that good or bad, do you think?
Oh, how can he be bad? He hasn't even met you.
You look stunning. What happened to your head?
Oh, this bird accident. Pigeon flew into me. I'll just take care of it.
Emma,
you
remember Dr.
Yes,
Bennett?
Hi, nice to see you, Dr. Bennett. Hi, Judy.
In the powder room, Emma tries to cover the bump.
No sooner do we leave you than, bang, I see your picture big on a bus.
Oh, from the cake tasting.
I felt so foolish. I went and bought your book immediately.
Oh, that was unnecessary.
And later, I was reading your very sensible observation and your clinical judgments.
Are they good things?
Well, I'm sure some people find them very useful. But I was surprised that a helpless romantic can give such practical advice.
Me? Helpless?
Oh, yes, you. Hopelessly helpless. But let me finish. So, my husband, Carl, returns to the home, and on top of his paper, there is the invitation to this very party. Isn't this amazing?
When you say Carl, do you mean Carl Ballenbecker?
It's a small world, isn't it?
Yes. Teeny, like a marble, or a gumball.
I had to drag Carl by the ear to come here.
Oh, well, it is a girly book.
Oh, no, it's not that. Carl can be very girly. Only that he doesn't like to socialize with someone whose company he intends to liquidate.
Liquidate? Who? Richard?
Yes, but we can fix that. After this party, you and Richard will join us for dinner. If Carl sees the man I saw, Abingdale Book will be safe, I'm sure.
Well, that is unbelievably kind of you. But you see, Richard and I made plans, and so we're supposed to...
There's only one thing you're supposed to do, Emma, and it's to bring your fiancé to dinner. Let's find Richard. Carl is waiting.
She rolls her eyes upwards and hurries back to her guests.
Oh, my husband hates you, but you saved our marriage. Do you mind?
Not at all. Who shall I make it out to?
To Richard!
Patrick has arrived looking for Emma.
Thank you.
Oh, hey, Emma,
I'll write the papers.
Richard, sweetheart. Please go with me on this. Do you remember Greta Bollenbecker?
It's a cake lady.
It's a small world.
So small, constantly shrinking. It must be the global warming.
I want to introduce her to my husband.
Her husband, Carl, is Carl Bollenbecker of the Bollenbecker Group, which just acquired Richard's Europe publishing house, and he's thinking of dumping you, Richard, and it.
Wait, I want a publishing house?
Yes, and you're my fiancé, so please just focus, concentrate, get it?
This is him.
You must be the cake dunker.
You got me.
That's my Richard.
Carl notices his clothes.
Casual flighties?
I actually just came from soccer practice.
You play football?
Well, no, it's Podolski. Podolski! Oh, well, no one can beat Podolski. I own his team, but he is a magnificent pain in the ass. But a genius.
Man, you own the Bayern Munchen Club? Why don't you use Klose more on defense? He's been totally underutilized.
Yeah, that's what I tell that stupid coach.
Klinsmann, gotta go.
And this we agree.
Excuse me, Mr. Bollenbecker, my name's... Ow! Jesus, Emma, what the hell?
Hand nuggies. We give each other these little hand nuggies. This is my brother, Carl.
Your name is Carl as well? This is a small world.
Yes, teeny, like a gimlet. Yes, my tiny, teeny little brother, but not small. No, big, older, but not by much. Carl, who I love so very, very much.
How's it going, bro?
Hi. Sorry. I'm suddenly so very thirsty.
Carl? Carl?
Carl.
Carl. This is Carl Bollenbeck, and I'm Greta's wife. And we're so charmed by your sister.
Und her outspoken fiancé, who seems to find fault with every player in the Bundesliga.
Ah, but not Podolski.
But never Podolski. So, you sound English, but your sister...
Incredible,
yes,
isn't
well,
it?
We both have...
Can I borrow Emma?
Oh, sorry.
Richard drags Emma away.
Hanugi!
Who is that man out there?
I can explain everything.
He's wearing sweatpants.
That's Sullivan. Honey, you're stress eating.
I'm not.
I wasn't at my father's last night. I was with Sullivan. Not with him, but passed out in his apartment drunk. That sounds worse than it is. I assure you, I was really close. Beyond that, I'm not really certain of anything, except that he showed up today with papers right when I had to go to the cake tasting, which you refused to go to because you're so busy.
Get back
as if
the
I'm not, as if I'm just...
Get
right,
back.
Fine. So, at the cake tasting, there was this sweet lady, and she thought Sullivan was my fiancé, and I just couldn't disappoint her. But this lady wasn't sweet at all. She was Mrs. Bollenbecker, which I didn't know.
Well, you certainly know now.
Yes, I do. But had I known, I wouldn't have let the whole thing continue. But it did continue until everyone was quite taken with him, especially Mrs. Bollenbecker, especially when he sang.
He's a singer?
No. He's a fireman. Darling, are you sure you want that?
Yes, I am. But what is he doing here?
Well, apparently he came to bring me the notarized papers. But then there was Mrs. Bollenbecker, and of course I'm Emma Lloyd, and so he's my fiancé.
And I am tiny brother Carl.
Oh, Richard, I'm terribly sorry. But, look, mini cupcakes.
Look, Emma, I only got about half of what you're saying, but this still seems to be something that can be cleaned up quite easily. So before you harpoon what is left of my reputation, I am going to go in there.
No, you can't. They're going to exterminate you.
What?
Not you, Abington Books. Not exterminate. Terminate. No, liquidate. That's it. Yes. Chop it up in little pieces. Sell it all off. Everything must go. That's why Carl wasn't coming.
But he did come.
Because Mrs. B made him come. She made him come so he could meet you. Oh, look. I think he's really starting to like you.
Oh, all right, then. Let me think now. Man owns so many entities, I can buy at least another year before our paths have to cross. So we just have to get through this. What are we talking about? A few more minutes, right?
And a dinner tonight. It was Mrs. B's idea so that Carl could get to know you a little better.
He's gone.
Carl?
No, Sullivan. He's gone.
With the dinner.
Well, get him there.
Oh.
Emma runs out and searches her mobile for Patrick's number.
Is Sullivan even in here? I don't see how he'd fit. Not now, Marcy.
Marcy grabs the phone and finds the number.
Find the lioness within. Oh, now you've read my book. Mr. Sullivan, Emma Lloyd here. Here's the deal. My entire career and my marriage to Richard probably are at stake here. Frankly, I need you. I really need you. Tonight.
In the restaurant, Patrick is absent. Emma looks hopefully at the door. She shrugs her shoulders. Her mobile rings.
Das ist wahr.
Das habt ihr mir nie gesagt. Ja. Das ist ja toll.
Dein Vater ist vorgestellt.
Ja.
Ja. Oh. Große Liebe.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Oh, my God. You got hit by a cab?
Good, nice touch.
What hospital are you in? I'll be right there. He was hit by a cab.
Who was hit by a cab?
Patrick arrives.
Oh, so it was only your foot. And you're fine, you promise? Oh, Carl, he got a cab. Ran over his foot. Yeah.
Carl can't catch a break.
Drink lots of cocoa. Bye-bye, darling.
Richard, I was beginning to think a man who would leave his fiancée unattended for so long might not be as charming as I imagined. But, no matter, please, join us for dinner.
Carl, look, I know how important this dinner is to my future with the Ballenbecker Group. But, see, I've got this family thing. And where I come from, family comes first. So I'm just here to invite you to a party. Could be a lot of fun.
Two family!
Two family!
Emma looks up at Patrick. The limousine pulls up at an Indian temple. On the steps, women dressed in traditional costume throw rice over the guests. A big crowd has gathered outside. Everybody, including Patrick, is dressed in traditional costume. Deep leads a horse-drawn carriage with AJ and his mother in it. They have come to celebrate AJ's apyana, a second birth. Patrick greets them.
Good day, man.
Crashes.
You mean that one?
No, that one's for me.
Welcome, Emma.
As the guests go in, a lady places a decorative stone in the middle of Emma's forehead. Inside, AJ sits by an open fire, stripped to the waist, wearing a red garland. A musician plays a harmonium as the holy man chants and bearers shower petals over AJ as he puts on the sacred thread. On the elaborate raised platform, Deep and Patrick sit with AJ and the holy man, looking proud as the ceremony continues. Deep kisses AJ and his mother smiles. The guests applaud once the ceremony is completed. The women are having their hands painted.
My lovely husband snores all the time. I just eat tight slap.
Check your menu for hidden messages, ladies. See, it's part of the tradition. Back when marriages were arranged, the groom would search his bride's painted body on their wedding night just to find his initials.
That's naughty.
A young girl dressed in a sari sings on the raised platform. Many others clap and dance in a traditional Indian style surround her. The guests, including the Ballenbeckers, are dancing and clapping and joining in with the girls. Deep comes out and takes over the singing. AJ shakes his head in disbelief. Deep encourages the crowd to join in with the singing, which they all do. Patrick and Emma dance with each other. They're both smiling and having fun.
Did I happen to say thank you?
You did, and you're welcome.
You're not the person I thought you were, Patrick Sullivan.
Likewise, Dr. Lloyd.
They move towards each other, about to kiss.
I have to go.
Patrick looks betrayed as Emma leaves the party. Outside, she makes a call on her mobile.
Wilder, it's me. Can you come get me?
Emma and Wilder arrive at his house and go in. Lying in the bath, Emma studies the artwork that has been painted on her hands at the Appiana. Patrick sits on a window ledge looking down on AJ and his girlfriend on the fire escape.
You did good tonight.
Thanks. Give us a listen. There's a limit to your love.
You gotta tell her, man. Girls are way into honesty.
Good night, you two.
Wilder cooks pancakes.
Honestly, Wilder, I mean, what am I doing? I'm running around Queens in the middle of the night, crashing Indian bar mitzvahs 2 weeks before my wedding with a man who is technically my husband.
Beats me, Em. Would you like another one?
Yeah.
And extra eggs.
Thank you, Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
I wish Mom were here.
Yeah, me too. She'd know exactly what to tell you, wouldn't she?
You're doing all right, actually.
Mm. You still make a mean breakfast.
I will second that. He also makes amazing smoothies. Is there still time for one?
No. Lauren, this is Emma.
Emma! Oh, my God. My mom loves you. I listen to your show, too, but I don't have a radio. Which reminds me, is there a mall around here? Or, like, a Best Buy or something?
Oh, there's a Toys R Us. Maybe they'll have something for her. Nice to meet you. Wilder, it's been real.
Excuse us. Is there something wrong with you?
No, nothing. I'm just late, and I have to go meet Richard, so...
Don't jump to conclusions, all right?
Thanks for breakfast, Wilder. Sorry I can't stick around for the smoothie.
You don't know everything there is to know, by the way.
No. Like, some things never get old, and, like ours here.
Look, this time you're really wrong, Emma. You are.
Goodbye, Wilder.
Bye, sweetheart. Daddy loves you nonetheless.
He waves as she gets into the waiting car.
The Golf Tee White is stylish, but it's been done. And it's not as common as the picket fence white, which is safe, but I just feel it's a bit boring. I see the Navajo white is bolder, but sort of in-your-face white.
I don't know. They all look the same to me.
In what way?
In that they're all white.
Yes, but different. I mean, wildly different.
Are you not going to ask me about last night?
Well, I assumed it went pretty well. Ollenbecker Group just renewed my contract another 5 years, thanks to you. Now, all we need to do is file those papers and we can put this whole thing behind us.
She turns away from Richard, looking sheepish, and sits on a wooden stepladder.
I don't have the papers.
What's going on, eh?
I don't know. He had them at the book signing, and then somewhere between the dinner and the Upanayana, Indian bar mitzvah, don't ask. I misplaced them.
Don't
I had them in my hands.
Don't worry about it.
So unlikely.
It's all right. I'm going to take care of everything from now on.
Richard pulls her close, gently stroking her hair.
Here's the thing. A white lie is still a lie. I mean, maybe a subtler shade of truth, but anyone who's really looking can see it painted on the wall.
So you're saying I should tell him the truth?
What I'm saying is that a cream-colored, ivory-hued, matte-finished half-truth will erode the foundation of your relationship.
I know you're getting married soon, right?
Yep. That's right.
Your fiancé must be a lucky man to know he has you to keep him honest.
We're both very lucky.
Brother Carl, didn't know you played. Let's drop the bullshit, shall we? It's Richard. Richard Braxton, as you well know.
Patrick Sullivan, as you well know. Well, hell, we're practically family.
You behave like a real gentleman over a rather odd period. Emma tells me you did me a good turn last night. I appreciate that.
It was fun.
Now I'm afraid I have to play the spoil sport and just ask for those papers so we can go our separate ways.
Why don't you tell Emma I'll bring them by the office?
No, that's not going to happen.
Why is that?
She and I have a life together which doesn't include you, and I want to keep it that way. So I'm asking you, man to man, not to see her, call her, text her.
I'm not much of a texter.
Well, somebody in your circle seems to have a gift for technology.
What do you mean?
The more I look into this glitch, as Emma calls it, the less accidental it seems. You might be technologically challenged, but can you think of anyone close to you? Might be able to pull this off.
Not off the top of my head, no.
Well, I intend to find out who did this.
Standing statuesque, Patrick watches AJ playing football. Back in his flat, Patrick removes the newspaper cuttings from his fridge door and throws them into the pedal bin, along with his wedding invitation to his cancelled marriage with Sophia. He changes his mind about discarding Emma's book and begins to read from it.
You're dreaming, wake up, girl. Do you share the same vision of the future? And we have to ask ourselves the question, okay? Smart, successful, beautiful women cannot live on humans alone. You may think that chemistry is commonality and intervention.
Patrick arrives at the radio station, still reading the book, while Emma's show is on air.
Thank you, caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm reading your book too, Dr. Boyd.
Would you call this a self-help book, or does that term offend?
Not in the least.
Who does it help exactly?
Well, it...
Patrick taps the glass screen.
See, the thing is, I haven't gotten to the helpful part yet.
Perhaps you're a slow reader.
But you see, it doesn't tell you how to find somebody to love or how you get somebody to love you back.
All it does is tell you what's wrong with the person you're in love with. And that, to me, well, that's not very helpful.
Well, perhaps it is you who are wrong for the person you think you are right for. Did you think of that, caller?
What is it you think you know about me that would make you say that?
I don't know anything about you.
Yeah, you bet you don't.
That's right, I don't. But since you called, here's some advice. Maybe instead of blaming others for your problems, you should consider looking at yourself.
I'm looking right at my problem.
Well, stop fogging up the mirror.
Nice.
Did you just hang up on a caller?
No. I did not just hang up on a caller. No. Hello? Hello?
I think we've been disconnected.
It must be those cell phones, those nasty cell phones. Well, thanks to my caller for calling, and I will be seeing you tomorrow for the next Real Love with Dr. Emma Lloyd.
She rushes out of the studio and catches up with Patrick.
Are you crazy? How dare you come to my place of work and make prank calls?
No, I'm just flipping through this thing, and I thought it was so full of crap that maybe I had a freaking call in.
Oh, I see you actually bought my book.
No, I stole it from your party. Excuse me.
Stole it, that makes sense.
Yeah, and I took your little compatibility quiz.
Really? How did you do?
Well, according to this, my lifestyle is wholly unsuitable to any freak who would buy or write a book like this.
Surprise! Those tests don't lie.
New York City Fire Department, ladies and gentlemen, official business. I'd ask you to please exit the elevator. Come on, ladies. Sir, thank you.
What are you doing?
Unsuitable? Is that really what you think of me?
I don't think of you.
You want to see unsuitable?
He pulls her towards him, and they kiss, sparking the latent passion they share for one another. They embrace wildly. Patrick uses his fire department key to secure the lift. The security guards watch them on the CCTV system.
Hey, security, what's the story with the elevators?
Holy moly.
My wife loves her show.
Babo, delivery.
Bitte, come on,
back. I can't even get a guy to hold the door for me.
Ma'am, I'm going to have to ask you to step back, please.
Can you fix the focus on that, please?
Oh, my God.
I'll zoom it in a little bit for you. There you go.
All right, I've had enough of this.
Excuse me, sir, doctor? Doctor? I'm going to have to ask you to please stop. Stop what you're doing. Come down to the lobby immediately. Stop it.
Stop it now, please.
They leave the lift and run up a flight of stairs to the roof of the building. Opening the door to the roof, they pass a maze of pipework, finally getting to a small perimeter wall and a magnificent view of the city. They smirk at one another, looking like naughty children.
Oh,
Sorry about that.
Which part exactly?
Kissing you thing.
Oh, well, just got caught up.
Carried away.
Lost our heads. I'm getting married.
Yeah. You love him? I only ask this because being that I'm your husband and you're my wife, I have this vested interest in seeing you happy.
I want to be happy. Don't you? What is happiness anyway?
I don't know. Tell me, you wrote the book.
I guess I don't know.
Looking out over the city, they muse over what has been said.
Patrick.
It's nice being married to you.
You too. Thanks.
Bye, Emma.
He walks away slowly, leaving Emma standing, gazing into the cityscape. She turns around and drops the bundle of Normand papers. A gentle breeze scatters them over the roof. She quickly starts to gather them up before they blow away. In an expensive restaurant, Richard sits alone looking thoughtful.
I'm sorry I'm late. I know, I'm always so prompt.
Relax, don't worry. When I arrived, I told them to bring the drinks in 10 minutes. Just, how's that for timing?
Oh, what a day, you've no idea.
Actually, I kind of do. I heard your show today. That was Sullivan, I take it?
Yes, the good news is, I got the papers. Everything but page 127, and I'm sure it's in there somewhere. We'll never see him again.
So why don't you look happy?
I am.
Well, I've got something that might cheer you up. Harry Winston finished our rings. Yeah. Wanna have a look?
Wow.
Circle of Eternity came out great, don't you think?
No. I did mine wrong.
What are you talking about? It's perfect.
It says, do I, not I do.
She has misread the ring. The engraving is correct. Richard has a look of concern.
You know, I think you're under a tremendous amount of stress at the moment.
It's not stress, Richard. I just don't know. I'm really confused.
Well, I'm not confused, Em. I know exactly what I want. I think you and I are the perfect team. Never doubted it for a moment. But I am not going to talk you into marrying me. So I suggest you take a few days and figure out what it is you want. In fact, why don't we begin that right now?
Richard.
He leaves.
Yeah, we had a really nice time, you know? Good conversation. He was kind of sweet and funny, but I don't know. There was something missing. There was no...
Spark?
Exactly.
Yeah, caller, let me tell you something about sparks. Sparks cause fires, and fires will burn your house down, you know, so if you keep searching for good old Sparky, you know, you're sure to get burned. Trust me on that, okay?
At Wilder's house, Emma is in bed and just beginning to awake when she hears Lauren's voice.
His girlfriend's daughter is wearing your robe. Hello, Emma.
Aren't you my... So, why the big secret?
Well, I wanted to tell you, but your father thought you wouldn't hire me as the caterer if you knew we were dating.
Dating? Is that what you call it?
Well, that, or this is an elaborate ruse of yours to get out of paying my bill.
You've been worth every penny of it, huh?
There you go again. Always saying the perfect thing.
You've been together for... almost a year.
Why didn't you tell me?
Well, you've met so many women over the years, I thought maybe I'd hold off on this introduction until we were sure of each other.
And are we?
Well, I am.
I can't even keep track of all the things I've misunderstood. Sorry. Dad? I mean, I know I never asked you, but, what do you think of Richard? Do you like him?
Well, sure, honey. What's not to like? I mean, he's perfect, isn't he?
Is that a compliment?
You don't need compliments from me. I've never told you how to live or who to date. That's always been in your department, right?
So what if I'm losing my footing in my department and I'm asking for a second opinion?
Well, I think Richard is a good, safe bet. You know, I mean, he's exactly the kind of guy that you've always gravitated toward and advised other women to pursue, isn't he? Probably the type of fellow that my brand of fatherhood pushed you into. Look, honey, I mean, I've made some big mistakes in my life, some real whoppers. But if I hadn't, I probably wouldn't have been able to recognize the real thing when it came along. You don't have to be so right all the time, you know? It's okay to make a couple mistakes.
In torrential rain and soaked through, Emma walks to Patrick's flat. He sees her approaching and smiles. She enters through the restaurant where Deep and his family sit.
You're drenched.
Come, darling, Baba. Move. She has to eat something.
Quiet! Can't you see that she's not here to eat or watch telly or chit-chat? She's come for the man she loves. You all with your come-come and your sit-sit and your eat-eat. You're standing in the course of true love. Stand aside, I say. Through the beads up the stairs, two flights.
Deep's mother slaps his head.
What? Kya kareo?
As she climbs the stairs, Patrick is waiting at the top.
Yeah, it's raining. Figured you'd have a day off.
Come in. Let me get you some dry clothes.
Patrick?
Yeah.
I think I called off my wedding.
I need to tell you something.
She removes her wet jumper.
What?
It can wait.
They begin to kiss. Patrick picks her up as a groom would his bride and carries her to the bedroom. They lie down on the bed where the passion continues unabated. It's morning and Emma is wearing a blue fire department t-shirt, burning waffles as Patrick showers.
How's it going in there, babe?
Great! We're having toast!
We'll be out in a minute.
She throws a used coffee filter in the pedal bin. Realising it was a picture of her on the paper in the bin, she goes back and removes what Patrick had discarded. Looking horrified as she goes through the cuttings and wedding invitation that she had found in the bin. Unaware of her discovery, Patrick washes his hair in the shower.
What is this? And this? And this? Emma. What are you, some kind of sick stalker?
No, Emma, it's not what you think. Emma, wait.
I can't believe this. I saw the invitation. So you're married?
No, I'm not married.
Liar. Stay away from me.
Emma, I can explain.
Yeah? What? That this is no accident? There's no glitch? No, you are the glitch.
You Googled me, invaded my life, invaded my privacy, ruined my relationship. I almost called off my wedding for you. I trusted you. I had sex with you. What, you're some sort of con man, scam artist, deranged man?
All right, you know what? Don't flatter yourself.
What have I done? I mean, Richard warned me about you. I warn people about men like you every
day. All right, stop. Come on,
I'm worse than my own callers.
Thank you. Can I show you something? Please.
They look into a shop where Sophia is working.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you don't.
Come here.
That's Sophia. As in, you're cordially invited to the marriage of Patrick Thomas Sullivan and Sophia Adelia Maria Chichagua. She's Dominican. We met on the job. Well, she almost blew up a building polishing those goddamn nails of hers. I carried her down 15 flights of stairs and sat next to her hospital bed until she woke up.
What does this have to do with me?
Did I mention she was a really big fan of your show? Listened to it every day. In fact, one day she called in. You probably don't remember.
No, I don't.
You told her to call off the wedding, Emma.
Patrick,
you don't know and can't even remember, and you changed her life and mine forever. I guess I wanted to educate you about that. About what it's like to have your life ripped out from under you. I wanted to knock you down a peg.
You did.
Emma,
goodbye, Patrick.
Emma. Emma.
Emma walks away and returns to the city. She stands in Richard's unfurnished and newly decorated apartment.
It's beautiful.
Just thinking how it's too big for me without you here. Are you here?
Emma nods in agreement.
If you'll have me.
You mean you still want to get married?
I do. As many of you have heard, I'm getting married. People keep asking me if I'm nervous. Well, I'm not. My eyes are open and what I see is not the man of my dreams, but the man of my reality. He's who he says he is, there where he's supposed to be. If you want to close your eyes, hold your breath and jump in, try the high diving board at the YMCA. You know, there's an entire generation of men and women roaming New York City in search of the Holy Grail dream partner. But until we learn the difference between romantic love and real love, we're just searching in vain for something that doesn't even exist. Here we are. Until next time.
Richard and Emma unpack items for the apartment. Patrick plays football. Emma, deep in thought at work. Then at Wilder's house preparing a meal. Emma gets a hug from a fan. Patrick, thoughtful on the fire engine.
You have to ask yourself serious questions. Couples shouldn't feel they have anything to hide.
Play with fire? You're going to get burned.
Is he responsible?
Is he dependable?
Can't trust what you merely lust.
Does he give you a stable universe?
Your love has to be earned, not yearned.
Gotta stop obsessing about this old girlfriend of his, okay?
Got it? All right. Next caller.
Hard decision.
Am I right?
Well, caller.
Trust me on that, all right?
Next caller.
Based on what?
What? Trust me on that one, okay?
Okay. I don't know. What do you want from me?
But real love is just a theory, right?
Yeah, a theory, yes. But based on 10 years of research and study, a sociological, psychosexual, statistical analysis of men and women and their relationships, okay?
Yeah, but what if you're wrong? Hello? You still there?
Emma's on the roof of her office block, looking out over the city at night, with hundreds of little lights coming from the windows of the buildings that sprawl into the darkness.
Take that one. Questions. Trust me, she needs to take that one.
The time is 15 minutes after the hour, and you're listening to Real Love with me, Dr. Emma Lloyd.
Yeah, we've got time for one more caller. We've got
Patrick of Astoria.
Patrick of Astoria.
Oh, really? Because I thought for a second you weren't going to put me through.
There are thousands of people listening, Patrick, from Astoria. Let's not waste their time. How can I help you?
Okay, there's this girl that I'm falling for. That I have fallen for. And, well, the trick is that she's getting married tomorrow. And if that's what she really wants, then I'm happy for her.
That's very generous of you, Patrick, from Astoria.
There's one other thing that she doesn't know.
We're almost out of time, Patrick.
The thing that I didn't tell her is, the thing she doesn't know,
come on,
is that I love her. You know, I look at her and I see my whole life. And I just thought she should know that.
I'm afraid that's all the time we have, caller, for tonight. Oh,
what? This is Dr. Emma Lloyd.
And you're listening to Real Love.
Where's she going? Get in here. Okay, let's see. We got Chuck on line 4 is looking for his soulmate, and Maria on line 2 just got dumped. So, Chuck.
Yeah?
Say what's up to Maria.
How you doing, Maria?
Outside Wilder's house, a black limousine pulls up. In the house, Emma is wearing her wedding dress.
Well, do you really like it?
Perfect. You're perfect.
I'm fucked.
It's an interesting segue.
Did you listen to the show last night?
Yeah.
He loves me.
I know.
The entire tri-state area knows. The car is here.
What am I gonna do?
Well, first thing, you should fire her.
I heard that.
Your sister at the keyhole. That's what you always wanted, huh?
I did, didn't I?
Instead, you got you and me. We didn't do too badly, did we?
We were a disaster.
Yeah, we were.
But I see a comeback in the making.
Yeah?
On the steps of a traditional American wooden church.
You know, for a guy who's waited this long to marry my daughter, he sure is cutting it close, don't you think?
Do you know I love you?
How?
Because nothing in the world would make me drag you to the altar again.
No, we don't want to press our luck, do we?
I should go see how Emma's doing. Let me know if he gets here.
Caroline, Wilder's girlfriend, walks through the church to a room at the back where Emma and her bridesmaids are getting ready.
Just take it off, Marcy.
Oh,
it's crooked.
Here, let me try. So this goes like this.
Using a hair slide, Caroline attaches Emma's veil.
This goes here. Here comes the bride.
I can't do this.
They all turn round as Richard comes into the small room.
Excuse me, ladies, could I just have a moment?
Emma smiles and motions with her eyes for the ladies to leave. Richard, a carrier bag in one hand, closes the door and stands looking at Emma.
Richard.
Wow. Look at you.
Seems kind of silly, though, huh? Me in this dress. Veil. Bridesmaids. It's like some sort of play or something.
No, you don't look silly.
Well, you look extremely not silly and handsome yourself.
I'm sorry I'm late. I had to go back to the city and get something for you.
He holds the scruffy annulment paperwork in his hands.
You forgot to file them?
Well, you should know by now I'm not really the forgetful type.
No, you're not.
Ever since you gave me these, I've been putting off filing them for some reason.
Why do you think that is?
I love you, Em. I'm clever enough to know when I've lost. I should have asked you to marry me a long time ago. Or maybe we just missed our moment. If you marry me today, you'll always be looking over your shoulder. to be happier.
I can't stand it. Oh, Richard.
You'll be all right. I'll be all right. As long as we can get past that angry mob out there.
Oh, yeah. Them.
I'll handle this.
Really?
No, not really. In fact, this time you should worry. I have no plan.
Emma looks up at the ceiling at a sprinkler valve and grabs a chair and jumps up on it.
Come on, help me up. Give me that candle.
He passes the lit candle to her. She holds a few sheets of paper in her hand.
Would you just wait until I've left the room? I might need this suit again.
Richard?
He goes out of the door as she lights the paper and holds it up to the sprinkler. Water pours down over the guests waiting in the church. At the fire station, Patrick and his crew pull on their protective clothing and jump onto the fire engine.
We've got a fire alarm and sprinkler activation at St. Paul's Church.
Great, Nick. It's not even in our district.
Listen.
I know it's out of your district, but here's the thing. You guys have sort of been requested.
The fire engine speeds through the narrow streets. The wedding guests huddle under their coats to protect themselves from the water while they evacuate the church. Patrick's fire engine arrives outside the church. Wilder and Carolyn stand on the steps of the church, amused by the events. Emma emerges in her white dress.
How you doing?
I had to talk to you.
Patrick steps down from the fire engine.
You know, you could have just called. So, what's up?
This.
They engage in a lengthy kiss while the crew and the guests look on, smiling, happy for them, before riding away on the back of the fire engine.
When I was a kid, I used to have a hard time believing in happy endings. The heroine always seemed to ride off into the sunset with what I thought was the wrong guy. One day my dad found me crying. I was watching The Lady and the Tramp, and he asked me what was wrong. I said, Dad, those two dogs don't stand a chance. They're wrong for each other. They have nothing in common. The movie's gonna end, they're gonna break up and be heartbroken forever. He pulled me in close and he said to me, Em, sometimes when you're really in love, you just don't sweat the small stuff.
So are you saying we should run away together?
Corwin, are you insane?
What?
You're old enough to be his mother. Wait till he gets out of high school and then call
back.
Who
is this?
Hey, good day to you, madam.
You said you were going to be on your best behavior.
Just, I don't know how you do this. I mean, these people, they drive me crazy. Won't happen again.
Okay, where was I?
Don't sweat the small stuff.
Right. Well, I guess I didn't appreciate my father's advice for a long time. You kind of have to figure out those things for yourself. But enough about me. It's quarter past the hour, and now for a word from our sponsors. This is Dr. Emma Lloyd. You're listening to Real Love. Please don't go away.
There's more to language.
Patrick taps on the glass.
Haven't you got any cats to pull out of trees?
That only happens in cartoons, Mrs. Sullivan, as you well know.
Indeed I do, Mr. Sullivan. What can I do for you?
I don't know. I just happened to be in the neighborhood. Thought I'd stop by and say hello. Why don't you come here for a second?
I can't leave my desk. I have to be back.
Oh, come on. It can wait. Just stand up and walk towards me.
You didn't come to see me at all, did you?
Of course I did.
She takes off her headphones and stands up from her desk to reveal that she is heavily pregnant. Patrick looks through the glass screen, smiling proudly.
We're back in 5, 4, 3, 2,
Dr. Emma Lloyd, we're back with Real Love.
Susie from Morningside Heights, you're on the air.
An aerial shot of the radio station's building brings the film to an end.
சொல்லி என்னை சொல்லு கண்கள் ரெண்டில் கண்கள் செல்ல சிறகுகள் முளைக்குது மனசுக்குள் மெல்ல ஜென்றல் காற்றாகிவா ஜரிகை பூவாகிவா மெங்கல் மழையாகிவா உயிரின் மூச்சாகிவா ஆறறிவோடு உயிரது கொண்டேன் ஏழாம் அறிவாக காதல் வர கண்டேன் சக்தி பார்வையில் உயிர் சக்தி தந்தாய்
உயிர் சக்தி தந்தாய் சுவாசமே சுவாசமே
இசைத்தட்டு போலே இருந்த என் நெஞ்சை பறக்கும் தட்டாக பறந்திட செய்த நிலவு இல்லாத புதன் கிரகம் நானே முழு நிலவாக என்னுடன் சேர்ந்தாய்
கேளுக்காக நீ கிடைத்தாய்
என்ன சொல்லி என்னை சொல்ல
காதல் என்னை கையால் தள
ஜன்னல் காற்றாகிவா ஜரிகை பூவாகிவா மின்னல் மழையாகிவா உயிரின் மூச்சாகிவா ஜன்னல் காற்றாகிவா ஜரிகை பூவாகிவா மின்னல் மழையாகிவா உயிரின் மூச்சாகிவா சனே